Monica here, welcome back to the podcast. Today I'm going to be talking about Stephen King's Carrie. Just so you know, this episode will contain a lot of spoilers. Let me tell you where I'm at with Stephen King. I've been reading King since 2001. The first book I've read by him was Bag of Bones, which is pretty unusual. And then I started reading other books. So I've been reading books from the 70s, from the 80s, from the 90s. But I've only started, like, creating an order to read a few years ago. I decided to start reading his books chronologically, and that's what I've been doing. When I was younger, I feel like my reading was very superficial, and it was only after I became obsessed with The Dark Tower that I felt the need for a deeper reading, a more careful analysis, that kind of stuff. So that's what I mean when I say I quote-unquote study Stephen King. Okay, so I've read all of the books and short stories from the 70s. I've read everything from the 80s, and I'm in the beginning of the 90s now. However, there is one book that I really didn't like, and it's not like Rage that nobody likes. It's a novel that people usually like a lot. It's one of the classics, and it's the one that I don't like. Maybe because I read it when I was still very young. I read a very, very old edition in Portuguese, and I can't say for sure, but I think the translation didn't do much for it. Anyway, it's scary. If it wasn't obvious, it's scary. I think that I never liked it, because when I read it, I was already very familiar with the story. Carrie was very much a thing when I was a child. It was a reference that everybody knew. I grew up in the 90s, and people talked about Carrie a lot in my social circle back then. So I knew the story, I knew what was going to happen, it wasn't a surprise for me. But I also remember not liking the style of the writing, because it's an epistolary novel, and I think that was my first contact with that kind of thing, and I didn't like it. Which is not fair, because today I don't have any problems with it. But that's the thing, I don't like Carrie, and I can't really pinpoint the exact reason. So I've decided to buy an English edition of Carrie and read it again to see how I feel about it now and see if I still have the same opinions. That's what I'm doing right now. And that's why I thought it was a good idea to record this sort of reading journal so you guys can come along with me. I started reading last night. I'm about 100 pages into the novel, and the first thing that surprised me was that a lot happens in the first 50 pages, which is uncommon for Stephen King, right? He's usually quite prolific. He's famous for not getting to the point right away, which can either be a good or bad thing with him. It depends on the novel. But that's not the case with Carrie. The first scene of the book is already a lot. A lot is happening right at the beginning. We have the locker room incident when Carrie gets her period for the first time, and the other girls start yelling at her, making fun of her, throwing tampons at her. Her teacher helps, but not really, but she does help in a way, and Carrie goes home. So Carrie already knows and understands a little bit that she can do things with her mind. She knows that she can throw things and break things without touching them. So she has this, let's say, notion, awareness already. But she's still very timid about it. We have a flashback of when she was a baby, and the neighbor's daughter was sunbathing in the backyard. She had this tiny bikini on, and she fell asleep, so her boobs slipped out of her bikini while she was sleeping. And when she woke up, Carrie was looking at them and asking what they were. The girl says, "They're my breasts," and Carrie replies, "My mom said that if you're a bad girl, you have boobies." Or something like that. And eventually, her mother gets out of the house and sees Carrie there. She gets very upset and mad, and she starts yelling. She has a fit. It's all very scary. And then stones, rocks, big, large rocks start falling on top of their house, on top of Carrie's house. So these big chunks of granite start falling from the sky, right? And I don't know why, but her conversation with the neighbor's daughter was something I never forgot. Let me read it for you guys. I kind of started up awake and tried to smile. It was hard to think what to do. I was sloggy from the sun and my mind felt sticky and slow. I said hi. She was wearing a little yellow dress, sort of cute, but awfully long for a little girl in the summer. It came down to her shins. She didn't smile back. She just pointed and said, "What are those?" I looked down and saw that my top had slipped while I was asleep, so I fixed it and said, "Those are my breasts, Carrie." Then she said very solemnly, "I wish I had some." I said, "You have to wait, Carrie. You won't start to get them for another, 8 or 9 years. "No, I won't," she said. "Mama says good girls don't." She looked strange for a little girl, half sad and half self-righteous. I could hardly believe it, and the first thing that popped into my mind also popped right out of my mouth. I said, "Well, I'm a good girl. And doesn't your mother have breasts?" She lowered her head and said something so softly I couldn't hear it. When I asked her to repeat it, she looked at me defiantly and said that her mama had been bad when she made her, and that was why she had them. She called them dirty pillows, as if it was all one word. I remember reading this when I was a teenager, and it stuck for some curious reason, the dirty pillows part. So before Carrie gets back to school, we kind of focus on Sue a little bit. Sue is one of the girls who are making fun of Carrie, but she is the nice one. One thing that doesn't sit well with me here is that, like, Sue feels like the protagonist sometimes, at least in this first part. I mean, Carrie is the main character because she has the power, she has the hunger for revenge or whatever, and she kills everybody. But Sue, she's not bad. She did a bad thing, but she has this, she's ashamed of her behavior, her personality. I don't know. She knows she's going to be the queen of the prom. She knows she will marry someone successful. They will be happy, like the happy couple on the block. She will have the perfect family and whatever, and she's kind of ashamed of that. But she's also ashamed of what she did to Carrie. So she spends the whole book trying to, make it right. And she says it herself here at the beginning when she's trying to explain to Tommy why she wants him to invite Carrie to the prom. She says, like, "I've been making fun of Carrie since forever. I never defended her. And only now I've realized I've been doing a bad thing." I don't know. I don't really think I buy her decision to make things right. I don't think this would really happen in real life. Of course, like, none of it would happen in real life, but you know what I mean. I just don't buy it. I think it's a little bit forced. And I wouldn't like Sue if I met her in real life. Like, she's not a person I would like very much. Moving on. So we find out that Chris, like, the real mean girl, is super mean, and that her father is a lawyer, and he threatens the school so that Chris can go to the prom. He wants the principal to fire the gym teacher because the teacher put all of the girls in detention. I think it was like 3 or 4 days of detention, and for what they did to Carrie. And she told them that if they skipped detention, they wouldn't go to the prom. And she pushed, like physically pushed Chris against some lockers when the girl talked back. And that's why Chris's father threatens the school, but that doesn't work. So he tells her that she is indeed not going to prom, which is not something little Chris likes to hear. Chris tells Sue she's going to do something about it, but Sue says, "Whatever, I'm not going to be a part of it because I'm a good girl and what we did to Carrie was wrong." And then Sue asks Tommy to ask Carrie out to the prom. She convinces him to do it, and he does it. And this is where I stopped. I said at the beginning that Carrie understands the things that she can do with her mind. Right, so when her mother comes back home, the day Carrie gets home earlier because of her period, she gets really angry because the idea was that if you are a good girl, you don't get the dirty pillows. If you're a good girl, you don't get your period, which she calls the blood curse. And the idea is that Carrie was a bad girl, so get down on your knees and pray, ask to be forgiven. But Carrie is also pissed because her mother never told her about periods and that they are a normal, natural thing. So because she didn't know, everybody made fun of her. So naturally, she blames her mother for that. And she gets a little bit angry, and we see flashes of fear in her mother's eyes, which are very telling. And when her mother is putting her in the closet to pray, Carrie threatens, "If you don't let me out, if you do this, I will call the stones again. I will make the stones fall again," something like this. And I want to know how much Carrie knows about her ability. This is not something that King gives us, at least not yet. And it's a little frustrating because Carrie already has some sort of awareness of what she can do. And when she's in her room, like, she practices lifting things, levitating things. So how innocent was she really at the end? You know, I'm on her side 100%. Don't get me wrong. Would have done the same. Would have burned those motherfuckers just as much as she did. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't. But I'm on her side. And I would love to know how conscious she was of her potential. But hey, one thing that has always bothered me about this story is the amount of blood that comes out of Carrie's vagina at the beginning. Like, Jesus. If you're listening right now and you have periods, please email me and tell me if you bleed that much on your first day. Because I know it's only my experience, but in my experience, the first day is not like that at all. It hurts more than it bleeds. I have cramps more than anything else. It's the same pet peeve I have in movies when, like, the woman gets her period in the middle of the night, and when she wakes up, it's like a murder scene. It's not like that. Or something funny that I found, let me read it for you. From The Shadow Exploded, Appendix 3. Carrietta White passed in the following short verse as a poetry assignment in the 7th grade. Mr. Edwin King, who had Carrie for grade 7 English, says, "I don't know why I saved it. She certainly doesn't stick out in my mind as a superior pupil. And this isn't a superior verse. She was very quiet, and I can't remember her ever raising her hand even once in class, but something in this seemed to cry out." I don't know why I did this imitation of King, but okay. The poem was, "Jesus watches from the wall, but his face is cold as stone. And if he loves me, as she tells me, why do I feel so alone?" The border of the paper on which this little verse is written is decorated with a great many cruciform figures which almost seem to dance. Creepy. But yes, this is it for now. Let's see how I feel about the next 100 pages. So hey, today is the 8th of July. I read about 100 pages more, and now I only have a third of the book left to read. A lot has happened in the second third that I've just read. Again, I'm surprised by the fast pace. I didn't remember it was like that. King's going directly to the point here. I feel like he's serving us the right balance between not giving you exactly what you want to read straight away, but also not making you wait for it for too long. And also not, because, like, sometimes he gets into these tangents that, like, okay, I don't need to know this. Go back to what you were saying before. That was more interesting. But this is not happening here, which is really good. Yesterday, I mentioned that I didn't like Sue, right? And while I still don't buy the whole have to make it right act, I don't think she's that bad anymore. What I still don't like, and I think I didn't talk about it yesterday, is Tommy being like, "What? Do you think I'm popular? Oh no, stop, I'm not popular." Dude, seriously, stop that. Why won't these people admit that they are popular? Even if you are not aware of your popularity, that's something that unfortunately is very important in high school. So people know that this is something that exists, even if they are not aware of their own status, let's say, which I also believe is bullshit. I mean, in an environment like this, you being liked and adored by everybody else, like being a jock, I mean, how wouldn't you know that you are popular, you know? It's a false modesty that really annoys me. Although I like Tommy's character quite a bit. When he takes Carrie to the prom, he's genuinely trying to make her have a good time. He wants her to feel good and enjoy that time with everybody else, which I thought was very sweet of him. So it's really unfortunate what happens to him at the end. But like I said yesterday, Carrie is well aware of her capabilities. And now we see that her mother is too. We have, like, this confirmation. The part that I read to you before about the stones, that was the neighbor's daughter's recollection of what had happened. And she wasn't inside the house, right? So she wouldn't know what happened inside. But we now get Carrie's memories of that event. And her mother tried to not kill her exactly, but she was pissed that Carrie looked at a girl's breasts, right? So she wanted to cut Carrie's eyes out with a knife. And she also tried to strangle Carrie. And Carrie was 3 years old, so it wasn't on purpose. But she made the stones fall on top of the house, and her mother knew that it was Carrie doing that. So she stopped hurting her daughter because of that, just because she knew what Carrie was capable of. Later on, we have Margaret's memories of when Carrie was a baby, and surprise, surprise, she tried to kill Carrie back then. She only didn't because her husband stopped her. The pieces of articles and interviews that are spread throughout the book tell us that telekinesis is an ability that skips generations. So if Carrie had active telekinesis, it's probable that someone else in her family had it. Later on, Margaret is remembering her grandmother and she says, "Yes, my grandmother had the power of the devil," or something like that. She would light up the fire without getting up from her chair. She would make the sugar bowl rotate and things like that. And soon after her grandmother died, Margaret went to check on Carrie, who was just a baby. She was like lying on her crib. But she was playing with something like a toy or something that was floating above her. So Margaret realized Carrie had the same abilities that her grandmother had, and that's when she tried to kill her. When Carrie is invited to the prom by Tommy, she tells her mother that she is going and that her decision is final. She's not like that resolved, or I mean, she is, but she's also afraid of her mother. She doesn't want to use her powers against her mother, but she knows that there's no way Margaret is going to let her go with Tommy unless she's threatened. And this is exactly what happens. They are both like sitting at the table having dinner when Carrie tells her about Tommy's invitation. And Margaret starts like slapping her, hurting her, saying all these horrible things to her. So that's when Carrie uses her power against her mother. She throws things against the wall with her mind and stuff. And then she says, "I don't want to fight with you, Mama," Carrie said, and her voice almost broke from her and dissolved. She struggled to control it. "I only want to be let to live my own life. I don't like yours." She stopped, horrified in spite of herself. The ultimate blasphemy had been spoken, and it was 1,000 times worse than the F word. I thought Carrie was so brave in this part. I was so happy for her, because we all know, especially we who have had a very traumatic childhood and abusive relationships with one or both of our parents, we all know how difficult it is to stand up and say no, right? And to say like, "I don't like your life. This is not what I want for myself, so stop it. I'm going to do my own thing from now on." I love that she hesitates a little bit, and I love that she was able to stand up for herself like that. It was very sweet, very powerful, and very true to her situation. When Margaret continues to antagonize her, she says, "I just want you to understand that things are going to change around here, Mama." Her eyes gleamed. They better understand it too, like they being her classmates. And then the dynamic of the house changes a little bit. Like, Carrie starts doing her own thing. She's sewing her own dress. Her mother is always like, "You're a witch. You're a witch. I should have killed you when I had the chance." It's very scary and very beautifully written by King. So we have a few days left before the prom, and Chris is thinking of what she could do to have her revenge. I don't really think she knew what she was getting into. I mean, I don't think she intended for it to be so bad, but she asks her boyfriend Billy to help her. Billy is described as being this young criminal. King says that he comes from a broken house and that he likes to run over dogs with his car when he can't stay home at night. So that's the kind of person Billy is. I think he would probably grow up to become a murderer, right? So we get inside his head a little bit and we see how horrible his thoughts are. It's a classic, like, King getting in the head of his villains. It's quite disturbing. But yeah, Billy goes to this place with some of his friends. I don't know if you can call them friends, but whatever. They kill a couple of pigs and drain their blood. He gets two buckets of blood, and he's actually the one who sets up the whole buckets on the beams thing, without telling Chris about it. So she doesn't really know how serious it's going to get. On the night before the prom, he sets up the whole thing, and on the night of, he just tells Chris to pull on this rope when she hears the school song play, because that's when the king and the queen of the prom will be crowned. And Chris had done her mean girl thing of convincing everyone to vote for Tommy and Carrie to be the king and queen. Approaching the hour when everything happens, King does this thing that I love, that yes, he does it in future books as well, but here, like, the writing is so unpolluted, I love it. He jumps from Tommy's mind to Carrie's mind to Sue's mind while she's alone in her house and having a feeling that bad things will happen, to Margaret's mind while she's convincing herself she will have to kill Carrie, like sacrifice Carrie, to Billy's mind and to Chris's mind while they're outside waiting. And it's brilliant the way King sort of prepares you for what is going to happen, at the same time not giving it away, you know? And I would love to read all of this not knowing what is going to happen. Because like I said before, this is the biggest problem that I have with this story. I know what is going to happen. Nothing is a surprise plot-wise. I would have loved to have the chance of going in blind, but unfortunately that was never going to happen because the book was written like more than a decade before I was born. But yeah. The writing is clear and powerful, and I'm really liking it now. Who'd have thought, right? I forced myself to stop in my second 100 pages because I wanted to come here and record this. But I'm probably going to read the rest and record my final thoughts still today, which won't make a difference for you because you're going to listen to it all together. But anyway, see ya. Okay, so when things start to go wrong at the prom, Carrie realizes that they were all making fun of her, which is really sad because we, the readers, know that not everybody was in on the plan. And there were some people that were like really trying to be nice to her, I think. That doesn't mean they had been nice to her before, but whatever. Yeah, Carrie gets really pissed, and now she knows, or at least she has a pretty good idea of the extent of her powers. So it's game on. She closes the doors and activates all the sprinklers, which I don't think she had, like, the intention of doing something deadly at first. I think I talked about it in my first entry here, but I don't think that she wanted to kill everybody at first. But when she realized that, like, that's where things were going, she accepted the fact really quickly. She didn't regret any of it. So she lets everybody die there, but she doesn't stop, right? She starts killing the whole town. She decides to go home. So she goes from gas station to gas station, exploding all of them until she reaches her destination. Like I mentioned before, Margaret was waiting to kill her when she got back. But of course, that doesn't go as planned and Carrie kills her. And I thought it was very interesting that she doesn't do it like in a horrible way. She just pictures her mother's heart slowing down until it stops. And all the while she's saying, like, your heart is slowing down, you're just going to sleep and you won't wake up. That was beautifully written and I liked it a lot. However, before that, Margaret managed to stab her on the shoulder and Carrie doesn't take the knife out. She just leaves it there and she remembers that she has more people to kill. That was something I thought was weird because I don't think it makes sense for her to leave the house anymore. But she remembers she has more like unfinished business to take care of and she goes after Chris and Billy. Now, I wanted them to die in the most horrible way possible, but that's not what happened. I think their death was very simple. But at least they died, right? And Carrie is like, okay, I'm done now, I can rest now. But now that all of her anger seems to have left her body, she starts feeling the pain of the stab wound. And she gets really tired, she knows that she's about to die, and that's how Sue finds her. Sue is absolutely 100% sure that Carrie is the one responsible for what happened, because not only her, but like everybody, everyone else, else in town could feel what Carrie was feeling. I don't know if Carrie did that intentionally. I don't think so, but that's what happened. Anyway, Carrie dies next to Chris and Billy's car. Tommy died instantly when the bucket hit his head, which was very sad for him, but nice at the same time, because at least he didn't suffer, like he wasn't burned alive. So, I didn't remember the ending of the book. I remember the ending of one of the movie adaptations, I think, in which Carrie makes the stones fall again and she's buried alive inside her house. But that's not how it goes in the book. And I liked how the book ended. The very last thing we have is this excerpt from a letter in which a woman is telling her sister, I think, that she saw her little daughter playing with her siblings and making some marbles float in the air. This woman also mentions that their grandmother used to have the same abilities as well, this being a description of telekinesis in another little girl. So we know that Carrie wasn't the only one that had these powers. So, overall, it was a very good experience to reread Carrie. I gave it 3.5 stars this time around, which is much better than what I had given it before. I think I had given it like 1.5 or 1. It's very direct. It's very concise. You don't have that feeling that you sometimes get in other King books that he's just rambling on. He has this habit, though, of writing what the character is thinking in italics, like in the middle of paragraphs. That is something that is really common in his writing and that I'm quite used to, but I think it's overused here in Carrie. It gets tiring after a while. I also like the fact that Carrie stands on its own. I don't remember it having any links to other books. I like how strong the book is by itself. The argument that this novel makes about bullying is very interesting too. It's something that is definitely worth talking about until now and will probably forever be interesting to talk about. I mean, you can push a person to the edge, you can offend them and make their life miserable, but there is a limit. Like, you never know the extent of the trauma that you're causing. And you never know what this person can do to get even, right? If that's what they want to do. But that's it. I'm very glad I decided to reread this book. I hope you liked going on this journey with me. I hope you had fun. Let me know what you think about Carrie. You can write to me at hi@monicasanoli.com.br. I'm also on Instagram @monicasanoli. The next King book I'm going to read is also a reread, and that is The Wastelands, book 3 in the Dark Tower series. Consider yourself invited to the next Reading Journal episode. Alright, so I'll see you next time. Bye!